Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the PLM Quick 30. We're changing it up a little bit, so we're going to have video. For all of you who want to see our shiny faces and smiling faces, please put your phone down and go look on your computer, and you can see us have an enlightening conversation today. So today's guest has a long history in the footwear and apparel industry. She has a degree in clothing and textile science, and she's continued to provide value over 25 years working with leading brands such as JCPenney, Abercrombie & Fitch, Target, and others. She also was senior product development manager for Chico's, and advanced to not only bring in and implement PLM, but manage business process for Chico's until finally coming home to all of us at Archer Gray, where she's brought her many years of knowledge and has been able to help various leading brands advance their PLM. So welcome. Our guest today is the one and only Kelly Price. Kelly, thanks for jumping on the podcast. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Patrick.
So I've given you a little bit of an introduction. I know I've skipped over a lot of things, but would you mind giving us a little bit more of your background?
Yeah, sure. Wow. So I actually was kind of how I started in my actual career was when I was in graduate school studying textile science. They asked me to go to work for JCPenney to earn my credit hours. So I went to work for JCPenney in their textile testing lab. And I continued working there with them for a few years. And then from there, I moved over to Gadzooks. You may remember them, the little bug in the front of the car, in the front of the store. And there I started their private label brands and their quality assurance testing program, which I really loved and enjoyed. But I was still very new in my career and felt that perhaps I had a lot of growth opportunities for learning in front of me, and perhaps I needed some more experience. So from there, I went over to, as you mentioned, Abercrombie & Fitch, and my role was a technical designer. After my 3-some-odd years at Abercrombie, which I loved, I always say that was my boot camp. I learned so much on how to be a pattern maker and really understanding the entire scope of retail. I went to May department stores in St. Louis, trying to get back home. That's my hometown, as a technical design manager. May department stores was bought out by Federated at that point in time. So it was time to move on to my next adventure. And that's when I went to Target. And at Target, I started out as a manager of technical design, and then they actually started piloting a product development role. So the role of product development really didn't exist in the industry. It was kind of a new thing back at this point in time. And so I...
What was that time frame? It's surprising to hear that product development didn't exist.
Yeah, product development was more so owned by either technical design and sourcing, depending on companies, certain different roles were managed. So this was in 2006, perhaps. Sorry. Welcome to working from home.
And we have a second guest today.
We do. His name is Simi. So it was really fun and exciting. And then from there, I moved to Chico's, as you mentioned, is my role in product development is where I started.
Okay. Yeah. I actually skipped over some things in your background that I'm familiar with. So chair of PTC Tech Committee for FlexPLM for many years. And I participated in those and have been an observer even prior to you coming to Archer Gray. And I would say it's one of the best run sessions because of all the experience that you've gained throughout all of the years. You bring that to the table and you do an awesome job at facilitating those discussions to really, and it feels like you approach it from an empathetic perspective of as if you were in those roles and you're trying to understand from a functionality perspective, what are the challenges? How did people overcome? There's a lot of value that comes out of those. So you've done an awesome job as being one of the chairs on that PTC Tech Committee. It's been fun to watch.
Thank you, Patrick.
Yeah. And so here we are at Chico's, and I would like to kind of focus this discussion a little bit at when you were in that role at Chico's. So, I mean, we start, sorry, now my dog is scratching at the door. How did you fall into PLM in the first place? And then I'm going to let my dog out while you're answering.
Okay, great. Well, you know, it's interesting. I've always been really interested in process and in solving business problems. And, you know, really, I've always thought there are probably better, more efficient ways to operate a lot of times than what we do. And it actually started when I was at Target. When I was at Target, they had implemented Siemens Team Center. And at the time, I was involved with that PLM rollout in addition to process. But really, where the mass of it all happened was at Chico's. And so I was in product development, and I had been leading that role for my first year and a half, 2 years. And one of senior leadership came to me and said, "Hey, Kelly, we are going to have this little 6-month project to select and implement a new PLM software. Would you like to be part of that team?" And I was like, hands down, yes. I was so excited because one of the things that I thought that that company really needed was improved software. And I felt that to engage employees and to gain good talent, good software needs to be there because people always want to learn and grow. So I thought it was just an awesome opportunity to be part of such a huge initiative. So that's how it started.
Yeah, that's awesome. So how did they even decide in the first place that PLM was going to be, I mean, were they viewing it as strategic, or was it, there was so much pain? How was it perceived, and why was executive management coming to you in the first place?
Well, I think it was a combination of things. We had introduced some new leadership, and new leadership had experiences with other companies and other corporations and where they saw opportunities for improvement. And so that was kind of one part of it. Another part of it was, I would say within my first 6 months, maybe first year, we had KSA came in and did an assessment of all of Chico's processes, roles, responsibilities, tool sets. And it was great. We learned a lot. And I remember my first week, I got this huge binder, and the nerd in me took the entire binder home, read every single page of it, and put sticky notes and highlights, and went back into my manager the next day and just had a ton of questions and challenges. And I was intrigued from the very beginning. And nonetheless, the suggestions that were made were unachievable. And so the company said, "Well, let's start with a new PLM tool." And so that's how they really formed the committee. And perhaps I created my own reputation by being so curious and reading the entire book.
Yeah, it speaks to your, passion for the industry and then desire to try to make things better through thorough research and understanding before approaching a situation to try to make a recommendation. So I think that's just inherent in who you are. So can you tell me, so they decided to implement a PLM solution. KSA had all these recommendations. So what were the business conditions that made it appropriate? What was happening either in the economy or with Chico's itself that really had this bubble up?
Chico's was growing. And at the time when all of this started, we had one person who managed materials, but the company was growing. And we knew that role needed to grow, but we didn't really know how that role needed to grow or what that role meant. And that wasn't just in the material department. It really extended across the entire organization. do we have the right roles doing the right thing at the right time? And how do we get through our life cycle? And at the time, they were using WebPDM, which is something I had used for many, many years as a technical designer and very familiar with it, Gerber software. And but WebPDM, product data management, doesn't encompass the entire life cycle. Trend, inspiration, color, print, fit, sourcing, everything that goes along with the entire product lifecycle management. So there was a need to say, we need to understand what's happening throughout our organization and our company, and find some better processes and ways to be more synergistic in the way that we operate and have more order and control. Because even though we had this web PDM system, most of processes were not managed in that tool because it wasn't built for that. And so there was a lot of offline documents. So how do we have more visibility and understanding of what's happening in our organization to allow us to grow?
Okay, so that's great. So visibility across the whole life cycle, it sounded like, if I'm trying to summarize, was a main driver. So if we fast forward to the implementation, and I assume it was multi-phase, but you know, it's implemented and you're in stabilization mode. Looking back, was the anticipated benefit before you started the same looking backwards in terms of ROI and how it benefited the business? Well, did it benefit the business?
You know, it was a long journey. There was nothing easy about it. We would actually joke that they built Building 10, which is a building on campus, faster than we rolled out PLM. And it's because we didn't know what we were doing. And quite frankly, I would say back then in 2010, PLM was new. I mean, it was still very, very new to companies. And I don't think anyone really knew where to start. So we were kind of making it up as we went along. And the more we went along, the more we understood what we were making up made sense. And so once we kind of understood more about what we could accomplish, because we didn't know what are the possibilities with this new PLM tool, and then how will they apply and rolling it out, is we did not realize the benefit till after. Now, one of the things that we had done, and you made a good point about rollouts and phases. So we had mapped out the entire process. We did a Visio of every activity that happened at Chico's from initial financial plan to final buy, every role that was involved in all the different tools and systems we used. At that point, we could then analyze the process and say, here, 6 people are doing the same thing at different parts in the life cycle. We had no visibility to that. So once we started understanding the biggest problems and challenges, that's how we were able to say, let's start here with a rollout of PLM. And then once we did that, I think we were surprised. I don't think that most people saw a lot of the value right away, because as you do, it's like watching your kids grow up. You don't really realize that they've grown every single day. And then all of a sudden you look back at last year's school picture and you're like, holy cow, you grew 6 inches, because it becomes the norm and you're living and breathing through it. So you never really say, wow, look at all this role clarity, process clarity, less duplicative work, visibility to my work stream, because it became a natural progression.
By the way, it is interesting to record a podcast with the video on, because I saw you bring yourself back 10 years ago to, I assume, a whiteboard. Maybe it was a chalkboard back then. You had your pen in your hand and you were actually circling and making the list. I'm like, oh, she's transformed herself into the meeting.
Exactly.
That's great. So looking back, can you summarize, after that first implementation was done, because it sounds like there were a lot of benefits, but what were like one or two of the biggest benefits that you know were financially advantageous?
I think And I know it's kind of more of a soft ROI, but we never really had, I would say, very clear role clarity or process clarity. And once we had role and process clarity, we were able to streamline the process and have less duplicative work, which means we were able to either get things done quicker or take on additional tasks and responsibilities that maybe we would have never had time to do before because everything was so manual and didn't have visibility. And as we continued to learn and really study the software and the possibilities it could have, I can tell you good, strong super users and those that are super passionate are your absolute best friend. And I had that in my color team. The leader of our color team was very, very curious, very process driven, and really wanted to find great solutions. And so we worked very closely to build some metrics and try and better manage the whole lab dip approval process. And within, I think, 3 months of rolling out our process, so it was one quarter, we were able to realize a save on spend on lab dips alone in one quarter, the first quarter, for $500,000. And so we just kept building on that and streamlining the process and really having visibility. And then that that mentality, that approach, that we then took that to all types of samples. How can we make decisions at the right time in our calendar when decisions are actually being made, so we don't put a lot of work into a product and then it drops? That's fashion, it happens. Or things change because there's new information happening in the market, so that we're not sampling a lot of products. Now we have 3D, and the more we can do that, of course, that will save in sampling costs as well. But I would say those were two big, hard ROIs, right?
Yeah, those are spectacular. I am curious, as you were talking, even taking multiple steps back, 2010, it sounded like the decision was made. I'm curious, financially, from the highest level at Chico's, how substantial was the growth after 2010, let's say in a 5-year time frame, 2015, if that's something you recall?
You know, I don't remember exactly. I know that in that first few years, our growth was strong. There are a lot of factors, of course. We had changing leadership. There's changes in the environment. But in that first few years, the company was very, very strong.
Yeah. Okay. So we just covered the justification, if you will, and the need as to why to implement PLM. But now a lot of companies have had Flex PLM, for instance, for a long time. They're more mature environments. And as you just mentioned, around 3D, there's more functionality that's being rolled out. And especially with Flex PLM version 12, there's a lot of enhancements around it. Aside from the functionality, but the GUI interface as well and the usability around it. So I'd love to explore that same topic a bit, but around upgrades. So okay. Do you remember how many upgrades you did at Chico's while you were there?
Yeah, when I was there, I believe we had just accomplished one upgrade. And then shortly after I left, an additional upgrade was executed.
Okay. And so when you went to get approval for funding to do the upgrades, was each time a different approach to get the funding? What was happening around the justification? I mean, did you have to go through the same process of, hey, there's pain here, or there's additional functionality that's going to benefit the business, or you're enhancing the system in some way?
Yeah. So, again, I would say, you know, having really great relationships with PTC allowed us to make sure that we clearly understood what was coming in new releases. And so being able to understand what challenges you're trying to accomplish in your organization and what new features and functionalities are coming in the near term or longer term versions of the software really helped us align what version would make the most sense. I mean, surely there was a point in time where it was like, we have to upgrade because we need to get back on support and just, you know, be supported. But there's the need to upgrade too, because there's always an opportunity to maximize use of the software. And if there's new features and functionality that's coming out that supports what you're trying to accomplish in your organization, it makes it a little bit easier when you're working with leadership to clearly explain, these are the pain points that we're hearing from the business, and here's what's coming in the software. So besides needing to upgrade, which it's wanting to upgrade, and by having that desire from a leadership level, being able to explain to them, you know, based on feedback from you and your users and surveys and roundtables and all of those wonderful things we did with super users, was to say, here are the pain, here's how it aligns, and here's what we're hoping to yield from this upgrade. It helped us for sure.
Yeah. And so, well, I mean, there's lots of people that are listening to this, and that's why I'm kind of driving into what were the conditions and the pain points where the functionality kind of lined up to justify moving forward for a particular upgrade. So looking back, what were some of those benefits, you know, in retrospect that weren't anticipated, but a result of doing it and moving forward?
Right. So I can't remember if this is a direct relationship to the upgrade, because it was kind of a long time ago now, but but I can tell you one of the things that we really focused on was rolling out Vendor Portal. And, you know, one of the kind of the big buzzwords around PLM was collaboration, 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 which is true. And that's great internally, but it's, how can we not only share our work with our partners or our vendors, but collaborate? And by the time I left, we were 100% of vendors at Soma. I think it was 90 something at Chico's, and White House had 86% of their vendors live on Flex, even though that brand wasn't yet, because wow, we share brands. And so what that meant was that we were able to really share workload in speed, Patrick. I mean, I can't even tell you, because for the most part, they're in an entirely different time zone. They're sleeping now, we're up. So we're working, and then when we go to sleep, they're executing. So we didn't lose 2 or 3 days. So the speed was remarkable, plus the shared work. And I'm telling you, another great thing, and I think it was also had to do with costing, some of the features that came out in costing, we rolled out costing way back in 9.2. So we were and then improved it. Super creative in how to do it. And we're willing to say, it may not do everything, but let's get started. And as new features come out, they will. And in fact, we partnered with PTC through the technical committee, having a working group to say, what can we improve in costing so more companies can use it? So kind of going back to the TC, you know, being the voice of the customer, helping influence the software company, and then taking that back to your leadership saying, here's what we've done. They've heard us and they've released it. Now help us and let us upgrade so that we can get even more value.
Yeah. I mean, you touched on, I mean, I've been at Archer Gray now for 14 years, coming up on 15. And Vendor Portal has always been a very strategic enhancement on the collaboration side. So I appreciate you sharing that. And then costing, surprisingly, it's not as commonly, it's always desired, but to your point, it always seems so complicated and people explore and research, but rarely do they pull the trigger, which is surprising to me.
Yeah, I agree, Patrick. And I hear that a lot, not only in my role as the technical committee chair, but in my role at Archer Gray. And, you know, I think one of the things that we as a team did really well at Chico's is that we did our homework first, meeting, really assess what are the problems that we're trying to accomplish. And then focus on what part of the system can solve that and really dig deep to figure out how to apply that. I think low-hanging fruit is great. It's always good to give users quick wins, but sometimes you just have to roll up your sleeves and you know, do the hard part too.
Yeah, that's good advice for everybody listening. I'm curious, you know, with version 12, so vendor portal costing were some of the most valuable things that you had implemented. So now let's bring it to present time. You've worked with lots more brands than the ones that you worked for when you were, you know, actively in industry. Now you're helping advise and consult with many other brands. So with version 12, you know, you spoke about some of the functionality that you were excited about before, but now looking at the upgrades now and putting yourself in our clients' shoes, what functionality or new enhancements are you most excited about that you know customers would benefit from?
Patrick, I'm smiling because if I were a user right now, I'd be knocking on every door. I got to tell you a little story. So I remember, this was several years ago, the PTC team was down here in Fort Myers working with us, and they had gone out to drinks or dinner or whatever afterwards. We weren't with them. And anyway, Mike Curtin at the time comes back in the next day. I see him. He's, Kelly, I got to tell you the craziest story. He goes, I'm sitting at this bar and these two ladies are sitting there. And I asked them what they do. And they said, we work for Chico's. They asked what we do. We said, we work for PTC. And the girl from Chico's says to him, scroll, 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 scroll. and so we all knew what that meant because there was so much scrolling. And I can't remember the number off the top of my head. So we've got a little video out there on our website. The number of pages to scroll is ridiculously reduced by like thousands. And that's one small thing, but those little things, it's like death by a million pinpricks, huge. The overall user experience and user interface, the look and the feel is much more streamlined. And I would say the most exciting thing, besides all of that, making it more intuitive and more modern, is samples. I mean, we all know, all of us know that, which is why we bit off that sample project right away, is that millions, depending on the size of the company, billions of dollars are spent on samples a year. And having true, clear visibility as to where they are, what's happening, how many I'm sampling, when they're coming in is critical. And even besides that, you cannot have a meeting. You cannot have a successful meeting where you're reviewing product and making visual decisions without a sample. Mm-hmm. And having visibility to whether that sample is going to be there or not, and being able to navigate those waters, however that may be, work closer with the vendor to get it in. Just that visibility is a huge, huge time saver. So and there are many, 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 many more features. But in general, the look and feel, and you know, it goes back to what I was saying. You have to have, from my personal experience, modern software, I mean, that is what users expect. They're used to using their cell phones, all these other modern tools. And by giving them modern tools, that's how you're going to attract and retain talent. And I'm telling you, folks graduating from school, I read an article, are leaving companies that don't have modern technology, or they're not going. Because what they're saying is, what I'm using in school is not available, what I love, and I'm excited about, it's modern, it's not available at these employers. So I'm going to look elsewhere. So those are some really great reasons, I think, from a user perspective, a time savings perspective, and as well a leadership recruiting perspective. It's this version K that's coming out this summer is even more compelling with a lot of the new features with embedded 3D. Integrations, so many things that are only going to support those other initiatives that companies have going on.
That's really really insightful, and I appreciate you sharing that, especially coming out of the pandemic where, you know, the retail footwear and apparel industry and consumer goods in a lot of cases were pretty impacted by the pandemic. And, you know, that they had to reduce staff. And that's really insightful that they've got to pay attention to the processes and the systems and how they function, because it's part of the recruiting process to bring new talent in. And, you know, I hadn't thought about that at all, quite frankly, until you mentioned it. And that's really insightful. And I summarized your other two ones with scroll and samples. Scroll and samples is why, that's how you can justify it to the executives when you're in the elevator and back in the office with your mask right. on.
Right. But you know what else, Patrick? I mean, you nailed it when you said they have reduced staff. It's reality, unfortunately. Right now it is. But just imagine if you had an upgraded tool that would allow you to be more efficient in your job. I mean, people are wearing multiple hats now. And if they could be more efficient in executing those roles, that reduction in staff may not be so painful. So where you may not be able to spend money in one thing, upgrading your system is probably going to be really valuable to supporting those team members who are still keeping the boat alive, right? Keeping the ship afloat.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I remember some of, I remember in the downturn in 2009, there was a large customer that we were engaged with. They canceled all their projects, including ERP, with the exception of their PLM solution. And the reason they were investing in it was because they knew just what you said, that it was going to help people work more efficiently, and it was going to be the foundation for them moving forward. Not only were they able to consolidate systems, but they were able to enhance how they're moving forward, managing product information and collaborating with vendors to put them in a better position. And it was amazing to watch as they continued to implement, enhance the system, their company operate more efficiently and grow coming out of that downturn.
You spot on. You're right. And that's a great story.
Yeah. So, okay. We can start to wrap this up a little bit if you're comfortable with that. But, you know, if you're giving advice to colleagues, what recommendation would you give to determine when an upgrade would make sense for them?
I think do your homework first. Assess your current state, usage of the software, and what the pain points that you have in your business or your tool or tools or peripheral tools. Really do your homework and make sure that you fundamentally understand the problems you're trying to solve. And when I say that, Patrick, I always go back to what I call the squeaky wheel syndrome. And I know you all have probably heard me say it before, but I'm going to say it again, because doing process or having done process for so many, many years, you love the squeaky wheel, right? Because you get feedback and you hear things. But oftentimes what happens is that's the only one that gets the grease. And the biggest problem may be somewhere else that hasn't yet been unveiled. So do your homework and make sure you're focusing on the biggest problems. And once you have those problems, I would say, look at how the software can help you enable those things and solve those problems. So I would always say assess first. I think there are certainly reasons why brands need to upgrade. If they're especially on a very old version or an outdated version, I believe come March 2022, everyone will need to upgrade by version K or greater due to support expiring, both with FlexPLM and Java. And, you know, that's a reason to upgrade, but I think there's so much more value you can get out of it. So that's why I say assess and make sure you're getting more out of it than just the technical. I think there's always opportunities to continue your transformation journey. And I think partnering with your IT team from a business perspective and understanding that there's more value than just being supported.
Yeah. I mean, that's great advice. As you were talking, I did a podcast with Dave Slater from Raytheon, And one of the comments that he made was a transformational time in his career was when he stopped thinking about his roles and responsibilities, specifically for what he was hired for. And he took a step back and say, okay, what does the organization need? And how can I help facilitate that process? And that's kind of what you described, a little bit of like following the data. The opportunity or and pain points may exist in other areas that you currently can't see because you're focused on, you know, doing your job, but the opportunity and the justification to do it lies somewhere else, and the functionality of this enterprise platform can help you get there.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Well, Kelly, I've learned a lot. Certainly people who have Flex PLM should be listening to this, and I know they're going to appreciate the advice. But even if you don't have Flex PLM and you're in PLM, there were a lot of takeaways for me that I know can be beneficial to everybody in the industry. So thank you for taking the time and sharing your expertise and your insight. It's been really, really valuable for me, and I know it's going to be valuable for others.
Well, thank you, Patrick. And you are welcome.
Yeah, well, good. So any parting words before we sign off?
Yeah, I would just say reach out, learn from others. It's a tight-knit community and people are willing to share. Don't be afraid to say that you don't know something. There's a lot to know. And what you learned a few years ago, you probably might have forgotten. So partner with people, be open to change. I know it's scary, or it can be, but it's necessary.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great advice. So if anybody wants to reach out to Kelly and doesn't know who Kelly is already through previous relationships, I encourage you to come to Archer Gray's website. You can just easily just fill out a form and Kelly will promptly reach back out to you. It's archergray.com, ArchergRey.com. And as always, thank you for listening. And Kelly, thank you so much.
Thank you, Patrick.
Have a good day.
You too.